We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So there was a time in my life when I wanted to be a writer. That's what I hope to, but I just don't have that skill set because I just never write for, I write for oral, not for written, so I just kind of gave up writing. But there was a time when I was wanting to do that, and I went to a couple classes, I went to a workshop about writing, and what I learned was very interesting. I learned that the opening line of any movie, any story, any novel, maybe even any sermon, the way you begin it is the single most important part of the whole work. These people who know more than I do, they claim that if you don't grab people with the opening line, they won't read the next line. And then they won't read the next paragraph, and they won't read the next page, and they'll just leave. And I thought, well, let's see if that's true. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. Those of you who are guests, don't start sweating, right? You know, people get real nervous at church because you think now you have to do something silly, but this is what we do just about every week. And I want you to turn to one another, greet one another, but here's your homework. Just don't like yak. Greet one another and share with each other your favorite opening line of any movie, book, story, whatever. Go ahead, take a moment and do that. Hey, Bert, someone told me he signed for $10 million. Someone said they heard $10 million. You have one, John? What's yours? Is it on? No one's listening. Is this me? Just talking to myself. Go ahead. And I was worried some of you would be shy. Okay, anybody have any they want to share? Anybody want to share? Any of theirs? Yes. What? Yeah, it was dead. What? What's that from? Tell the rest of it. Anybody else? Once upon a time. That's good. Was that yours? Get another one. Don't be stealing hers. Yes. It was the best of times. It was the worst. In the back. I forgot to tell you that. At the other services, we had a rule. No. Can I say this in church? No kissing up to the preacher. When you ever notice when a preacher asks a question, they may yell out God or Jesus or quote the Bible acting all religious? No. Yeah, you have a new one? Once upon a what? Oh, in a galaxy. Yeah, go ahead, steal mine. Get out of here. But one of the things that make opening lines so good, I think, is when you can hear the first part of the line and then finish it. I mean, because it is just that familiar, right? So I thought I'd do a little test. You ready? I'm going to share the first part. You have to finish it. Go with an easy one. A long time ago in a galaxy. Next. It was the best of times. Okay, now what we've done on this next one, about 50-50. 50% gets it, 50 people just look at me. Are you ready? Call me. About 25% get it. Everybody else going, what's that? It's Moby Dick. Here. Okay, at the 3 o'clock, I just got blank stares. 5 o'clock, save me. Ready? Here's a story of a lovely lady. Now, at 5 o'clock, they all sang it, which I don't know if that's legal. And then the really easy one, 'twas the night before Christmas. Not a creature was stirring. That's all I know of it. But you notice that when you know the beginning and you can know it, the familiar lines so well, you start remembering the entire story. And if you're like me, it brings back all sorts of things in my head. That's why I love the way Luke handles the Christmas story. Because Luke starts in a way that is, well, he starts big. He starts like you're looking at this expanse. He begins by saying, in those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. That's how it begins, right? He begins with that. And then he proceeds to add details. He starts with the emperor. You notice this. Then the next thing he does is he adds the governor. Okay? Then after the governor, these powerful men, the most powerful men in the land, he turns his attention to this unwed, pregnant, 13 or 14-year-old, scared to death girl. And her husband-to-be, who is nervous, who is worried, who's a little uptight right now. And so he goes from here to there. And when I hear the beginning of his story every year, my mind begins imagining the whole scene. Does anybody else do that? It's like when I hear a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I start thinking of all the Star Wars stuff. But when I hear the opening of Luke, I begin thinking of the Christmas scene. I'm imagining what it might have looked like. Some of you might imagine a stable with horses and cows and sheep. I imagine a guest room of a house. Some of you still think about the three wise men showing up. I know better. They don't come for a little while. I think about Mary and what she might have been going through and Joseph and what he was feeling. And all those things just kind of pop into my head. And when I start thinking of that, and this just may be my brain, I start remembering different Christmases. Anybody else do that? And I think about the last Christmas I spent with my mom. I think about the first Christmas I spent with Jill after we were married. I think about those Christmases that had special places in my heart and in my head. And it all triggers from those opening words that a decree went out and it just goes. Now, my favorite part of the Luke story, though, isn't the angel, it isn't Mary, it isn't Joseph. My favorite part of the story are these shepherds. And the reason why I get fixated on the shepherds is because for the longest time, I couldn't figure out why in the world would God go to the shepherds, of all the shepherds. Now, there was a time in the Jewish world where the shepherds, well, they were pretty hot stuff, right? They were well-respected. They were looked up to. They were, you know, because the King David was a shepherd, and so it was a good profession. But somewhere over the years, that kind of changed, and shepherds began to get a kind of a bad reputation. They were known to be thieves. They were unclean. They weren't allowed to go to the temple. They were in the socioeconomic ladder. The only thing they were ahead of were the lepers. The only difference between a shepherd and a leper is that the shepherd didn't have to walk down the street yelling unclean, where a leper did. They weren't welcome. They were on the outskirts. They were in the margins. They were ostracized. They were the punchline of jokes. They were all of that no one wanted to be. But yet God says the shepherds were the ones who were told the good news. It was the angels. They didn't come to the kings. They came to the shepherds. And I used to wonder about why God would come to the shepherds. Then I finally realized God knew what God was doing. He had it perfectly planned the entire time. He came to the shepherds, I think, because of me. Maybe because of you. See, some of you don't know my backstory. Some of you do. My dad ran out on us when I was young. I don't remember. I have no memories that I'm sure of about my dad. Up until he died, I couldn't have told you what he looked like. I finally saw pictures of him. I found out recently he would have been 89 years old tomorrow. I didn't know that. I have this memories, and I had to explain to Jill that I might have lied to her over the years because my mom left me a 14-page handwritten note, and in it she told me places we lived. I don't remember. And so I told Jill, I don't know what memories I have that are real and which ones aren't, right? But what I do remember is at an early age, figuring out that there had to be something wrong with me, that I had to be broken or a misfit in some way, because why else would the man who was supposed to love me not only leave me, but when I finally tracked him down and called, his secretary answered the phone and said, you can't be Mr. Verschel's son because he has no children. Now, I got to tell you, the rest of the phone call wasn't the most graceful moment of my life. Because he had three children that we knew of. And so I spent a lot of my life trying to prove to myself, to you, to others, to God, that somehow I was good enough, that I wasn't a misfit. My favorite TV show, my favorite cartoon growing up was Rudolph. Why? Because I identified with the Island of Misfit Toys. I was as broken as they were. And then one Christmas, I finally got it. I finally understood why the shepherds. Because God gave them an incredible responsibility. You see, not only were they first to hear about Jesus, not only were they maybe the first to see the baby Jesus, they were the first ones to tell the story of Jesus. I mean, if you read Luke 2, 17 and 18, it says they went out and they told everyone they knew about the child, and people were amazed. That's what it says. They were, in fact, get this, the first preachers. And when I realized that, I began to understand that maybe that's why God used them. Maybe that's why God said to them, it is up to you to tell the story. Because I understood that they were misfits. They were broken. They were just like me. I was just like them. And if God could use them, then surely God could use me. And so when I finally let that get through my head, I made a decision that I would spend my career sharing with people what I believe to be the Christmas message. And so, well, those of you who are part of this church, you know what I do. Every church I have served since, I give the same benediction so that the last thing you hear from me is the Christmas message, right? We stand, we hold hands, I give the priestly benediction, and then I say something like, there is nothing you can do to ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you are nothing but the best of the best of the best. You want to know what Christmas is about? Linus gets it, but he leaves that part out. What the shepherds finally realized is that God loved them no matter what other people thought of them. God loved me no matter what my dad thought or didn't think. God loved me no matter what anyone else thinks. God loves me no matter what I think. And here's the best part. There is no way I can ever change that. There's nothing you and I can do that will ever make God say, I'm sorry, you're just a misfit. Because you and I are just like the shepherds. Now here's the bummer part of that. You want to know what the real bummer is? Sorry to tell you this. Just like the shepherds were the first to hear, first to see, and then the first to tell, now it's up to you. Because you have seen, you have heard, and now you need to tell people the Christian story, the story of Christmas, so they really know what tonight and tomorrow is really about. So here's what I want you to do. 3 o'clock, people just kind of stared at me. 5 o'clock, Leah, you think anybody did it at 5 o'clock? Okay, you and I did. Tom did. Tom Tunnel did because he texts me. I want you to pull out your phones. Yes, the preacher is telling you to pull out your phone. Seriously, go ahead and do this. Okay? Now, I want you to just focus on for a second. Here's what, everybody got the phone out? Show your phone. Oh, instead of candlelight, we could, okay. Okay, so I want you to think of somebody, all right? They can, but they can't be here tonight. That's the rule that some people broke at the last service. They can't be here tonight. Someone who's not here, it can be a distant relative that isn't around here. They may live in Brooklyn or something. I don't know. It could be a friend that you haven't seen in a while. It can be someone who you one time had a real strong relationship with, but over time it just kind of faded away. I want you to think of that person. Go ahead. And if they're in your contacts, I want you to get them, if you know their number. So open your texting app. If you get charged for the text, let me know. I'll pay you the dime. Okay? Poor Vic. I'll let you know who I'm texting. I'm texting Vic Colazzo. Vic was my fraternity little brother at UCF. And there was a time where Vic and I were very close. And then we kind of grew apart. And we reconnected, believe it or not, because of Harvey, because of Hurricane Harvey. And Vic is someone who I just love dearly. And so I'm choosing Vic. And Vic, if you're watching this, this will be the second one you get. Or third. And I want you, this is what I want you to text. Ready? Everybody got it ready? I don't see a lot of phones out. You know, I am working hard up here. You don't think I just woke up and made this stuff up, do you? Okay, so here's what I want you to text. Merry Christmas. Do we have it up there? With an exclamation mark. Jesus is born, and you are loved. How easy was that? Exclamation. You know, I hate autocorrect. Okay, and then don't put the, and now hit send. Don't type that. Just, someone asked me, did I hit send? Yeah, hit send, and boom. Now, the way I figured it, there's be give or take 1,000 people here tonight, 900 to 1,000 at all four services. So that means if 65% of you actually played, 650 people just heard the Christmas message. You might have changed in one night 650 people's lives. Because when you discover that, your life is changed. You will never be the same again. And you just told a story. Simple story, powerful story. And like the shepherds, you heard, you saw, you told. And to think, it all began with what I would call the greatest opening line of all time. Ready? A long time ago, in a land far, far away, a child is born. And you are loved. And he really does think you are the best of the best of the best. That's the Christmas message. It's as easy as I can make it. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. And may you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for just a moment what your day might be like if you lived it believing that? I think you'd have a good day.